All right, how could a world-famous individual at his country estate with his wife, servants, and guard dog not hear somebody enter his home and kidnap his one-year-old son? The Lindbergh baby kidnapping was the biggest story of 1932, but Lindbergh was a flawed hero who also believed in Aryan superiority. In an effort to add to the tall, blonde, blue-eyed population, he had 13 children with four women. I'm Patty Steele. 90 years after the kidnapping, there are suspicions about what really happened. That's next on The Backstory. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, if we're being honest, we all have stuff in our lives that drive us crazy. Maybe it's a job, a difficult relationship, or love interest. Or honestly, it can just be the state of this crazy world we live in. For me, it's all three of those things at times. A lot of times it's not a big deal, but in the moment, it sure feels like it is, right? So how do you come to terms with those stressors and not let the negativity weigh you down? For me, therapy has always been a haven where I can open up, talk about what's eating at me, and trust that this person will be honest, understanding, and discreet. Therapy isn't just for folks who've had major trauma. It's for you and me, so we can be at peace and become the best version of ourselves. When I connected with a terrific therapist at BetterHelp, she asked some on-point questions, and I actually heard myself working through some of the issues I'd kept bottled up. What a relief. If you've considered therapy, I can't recommend BetterHelp enough. It's completely online, so it's convenient, flexible, fits your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a short questionnaire, you'll be matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no extra charge. Take it from me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/backstory today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/backstory.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Backstory is back. So, okay, imagine it's 1932, America in the grips of the Great Depression, and everybody's looking for something to feel good about. In the midst of this economic turmoil, one man has captured the hearts and imaginations of not just Americans, but folks all over the world. In 1927, just 5 years earlier, Charles Lindbergh had become the first person to fly solo, nonstop, across the Atlantic Ocean at the age of just 25. He was an icon for Americans to hold on to in dark times, a symbol of hope and of the possibilities that America offered. Probably the most famous man in the world at that time. Charles married Anne Morrow, the daughter of a U.S. senator and ambassador, in 1929. She went on to become his co-pilot and radio operator on a lot of his experimental flights, and she was the first woman to get a U.S. glider's pilot's license. Charles and Anne were the Prince Harry and Meghan Markle of their time, without any of the negatives, if you think there are any. But it was a life in an intense spotlight. In June of 1930, on her 24th birthday, Anne gave birth to their first child, Charles Lindbergh Jr. So they built a beautiful mansion on close to 400 acres called Highfields in the countryside of western New Jersey, thinking the remote location would be an escape from the constant attention they got from the press and the public. But it wasn't as idyllic as they hoped. Sometime before 10 o'clock on the night of March 1st, 1932, it became a horror story. The couple is sitting downstairs by the fire when Charles says he hears a noise, a thud. Anne says she heard nothing, and the dog, known to bark at strangers, doesn't make a sound. Could an insider have been involved? A bit later, Anne goes upstairs to take a bath. Around 10 p.m., the baby's nanny goes in to check on him and finds an empty crib. One-year-old Charles Jr. is gone. Immediately, Charles Sr. grabs a gun, and he and the family butler search the house and the estate grounds. In the baby's room, they find traces of mud near an open window, as well as a ransom note demanding $50,000, written in broken English. Outside, there are footprints in the mud, as well as a crudely built ladder and baby Charles' blanket. The police are called in, and the investigation begins. The Lindberghs were literally compared to royalty at that time, and the public goes nuts. Hundreds of people immediately converged on the estate to support the couple, but they also destroyed valuable footprint evidence. 3 days later, another ransom note arrives, upping the demand to $70,000. Over the next months, more ransom notes arrive in the same handwriting, bringing the total to 13 notes, but no baby. Charles Lindbergh himself runs most of the investigation to the dismay of the local police. He even drives a friend, acting as an intermediary, to a meeting in New York City with the alleged kidnapper at a cemetery. The baby isn't returned, but Lindbergh claims the voice he heard while sitting in the car during that meeting was the voice of the man ultimately arrested in the case over 2 years later, Bruno Hauptmann. On May 12th, the baby's badly decomposed body was finally discovered in the woods, about 4 miles from the family estate. He'd likely died the night he was kidnapped from massive skull fractures, maybe by being dropped as he was taken down the ladder they found. The next day, the FBI is empowered to coordinate the investigation. Finally, almost 2.5 years after the kidnapping, German immigrant Bruno Hauptmann is arrested for the murder after he passed some of the marked bills used for the ransom. More bills were found in the garage at his house, and a piece of wood taken from his attic is identified as the same wood that had been used to build the ladder used in the kidnapping. But it wasn't quite that simple. While the case against Hauptmann was based only on circumstantial evidence, including the money, some handwriting, his German heritage, the piece of wood, and Charles Sr.'s identification of his voice, Hauptmann was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to death in the electric chair. Even the governor of New Jersey said Hauptmann could not have possibly acted alone, but his appeals failed. Hauptmann maintained his innocence to the end, and his wife, Anna, fought to clear her husband's name, even after his electrocution, stating she'd been with him the night of the kidnapping. She even tried to sue the state of New Jersey for wrongful death. Her battle to clear him continued until her death in 1994 at the age of 95. So, what's the latest on the investigation? Well, for one, there's evidence that police strong-armed people into testifying against Hauptmann and also hid evidence in the case. It certainly seems he had some involvement, and authorities wanted the culprit caught, tried, convicted, and executed as quickly as possible to calm public fears, especially because it involved a national hero. But at what cost? Several historians recently have pointed to the possible involvement of Charles Lindbergh himself in the kidnapping and ultimate death of his son. Lindbergh was known to be fascinated with social Darwinism, or eugenics. He and his wife became close with Adolf Hitler in the lead-up to World War II. Charles really damaged his reputation by pushing the U.S. to stay out of the war, though after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, he relented. He was a believer, like Hitler, that people that were tall, blonde, and blue-eyed Aryan types, like him, should be the ones procreating. Problem is, there's evidence that some health problems plagued his baby son, Charles Jr., making him far from perfect. Could that have motivated something so vile? That's kind of hard to imagine. Years later, it came out that Lindbergh, in an effort to add to the Aryan population, had affairs with 3 German women, producing a total of 7 more babies, in addition to the 6 he had with his wife, Anne Morrow. He managed to keep those baby mamas from going public, and in fact, none of this came out until after 2001, when Anne Morrow had died. And while 3 of Lindbergh's children from those affairs have stepped forward, none of them have ever tried to get any money from the Lindbergh estate. At the end of the day, Charles Lindbergh, like a lot of our heroes and a lot of us regular folks, had some amazing capabilities, but some serious flaws as well. Understanding both sides of this complex story is how we learn from history. If today's episode of The Backstory has sparked your curiosity, or if you have any other stories to share, please reach out and please subscribe, direct message, leave a review, and follow on Facebook at Patty Steele and at Real Patty Steele on Instagram. I'm Patty Steele. The Backstory is a production of iHeartMedia, Premiere Networks, the Elvis Duran Group, and Steel Trap Productions. Our producer is Doug Fraser. Our writer, Jake Kushner. We have new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. Feel free to reach out to me with comments and even story suggestions on Instagram at Real Patty Steele and on Facebook at Patty Steele. Thanks for listening to The Backstory with Patty Steele, the pieces of history you didn't know you needed to know. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.